Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Day two.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh! I guess I forgot to take that class about clearing your throat before you begin talking. This is Wretched Radio. Why would we want to start elevating the quality of this program now? Would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org and feel free to text away 877-282-2337 on day to who? To who? To who? On Mailbag Week on Wretched Radio.
We're going to start with a question.
Maybe I need to use this range down here.
That's better.
Ooh.
From Anonymous, Todd, my parents are going through a divorce. My mom is, I think, possibly a new believer. I've explained the gospel to her, and in the last few months, she has said she believes and desires to know God. She's been going to church and reading the Bible.
Awesome.
To my knowledge, she's been reading the Bible to my knowledge. However, she is also the one who filed for divorce 2 months ago. Despite my input, she continues to say she wants a divorce because of the unhealthiness in their relationship and her strong belief that my dad will never change. My dad is not a believer and has in the past been skeptical of the gospel, leaning more toward belief in science and proof. He does not, however, want to be divorced and is very sad about the situation, has admitted his faults, asked for forgiveness from my mom, and is willing to seek counseling even from the local church. Still, my mom is not interested in counseling or alternatives to divorce. How do I, as their daughter and follower of Christ, speak into this situation with the goal of pointing them both toward Christ?
Oh, wow. And believe it or not, this situation, at least on the surface of it, is lacking a fair amount of complexity. Now, there's no doubt more details involved here, but so often these situations can become so complex and entangled, it appears this is relatively straightforward. The question that isn't answered in this particular email is, why is she wanting to file for divorce? The language that was described sounded a little bit more therapeutic. The relationship just isn't very good, but was there unfaithfulness? Was there more to it than perhaps you as the daughter are aware? That would indeed still be valid grounds for her to say, I want to get a divorce. And you can encourage her to take a look at that decision and consider it perhaps more biblically than she has historically. This is not an easy thing to do for an older believer, let alone a newer believer, to say that you can forgive even an awful sin. And I'm not saying this happened in this situation, but whatever the awful sin is or whatever the dynamics are, that you can actually forgive it and healing can take place, especially when the other person, who in this instance isn't even a believer, appears to desire to make amends and do better. That's a really good start. So without knowing if there was any sort of adultery going on, I would encourage you to just keep encouraging your mom. And if you're going to church, engage the elders. You need support in this. Somebody who can lovingly come alongside her and say, hey, let's take a look at this. And it might not be the elder or elders themselves. There could be an older woman in the congregation who is godly, who would be fit perfectly for this task, who could engage with your mom, walk her through it, mourn with her over the ache that exists from so much sin, and then try to gently lead her to consider keeping the marriage together if there was adultery. Now, if there wasn't adultery, that encouragement would have to be stronger. Mom, if you divorce Dad unbiblically, that would be a sin, and God will not bless that. John Street once used the phrase that God will release the hounds of heaven toward the person who gets an unbiblical divorce. It is a rarity when you see somebody getting divorced unbiblically where things go great, never better. I got a divorce unbiblically and the Lord is blessing me. In fact, you see just the opposite of that. And so you're going to need to be patient. You're going to need to be loving, and you need to call in the reinforcements. And those troops exist in one place, your local church. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. But if I might just add one last thought, if indeed Dad did commit adultery and Mom decides, no, I don't want to stay married to him, she does have that right. And you can't force her to do something when she has biblical grounds for doing so. 877-282. Divorce is a drag, isn't it? Divorce, it just always, yeah. There's just so much sin involved and hurt. And everybody gets affected by it. And by the way, this is another reason you need to be praying for your pastor, because he's going to be dealing with this situation and way worse. I was just reading, there was somebody, who, I think I received an email. The couple she just got saved, but she's been divorced three times. And then she got, so she got divorced three times, get saved, and now has met somebody who's a believer that there might be marriage in the future. All right, you're the pastor. What do you say? Will you officiate that ceremony? The complexities of some of these cases is just hair pulling. So pray for your local pastor and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from Sue. Todd, what is your opinion on independent or non-denominational churches?
Yeah, it depends on the church. I understand that we can have the sense that being in a sound denomination is safe. And what we've seen over the decades is it's not, because we've seen entire decades go the way of liberalism. And so denominations aren't any more safe and secure than an independent local church. And that is why even when a church is inside of a good denomination, doesn't mean that church is good. It also, vice versa, there can be a good church in a bad denomination, just staying for whatever reason. And so I think you need to make the decision not based on affiliation, but on the context of the local church itself, which is why start attending, interview people. I mean, not like sit down, state your name. I'm talking about just get to know people and ask them questions about the church. What is their experience like? What do they love about the church? What do they wish were different at the church? Learn about the church and then ask the elders a ton of questions. You have every right to do that because you are putting yourself underneath their spiritual authority. So ask those elders questions and then make a decision about whether or not you're going to become a member based on that church and not necessarily their affiliation. An independent church is just as safe as any sound denomination as long as they're sound. Now, there's theological issues, but don't forget, everybody's alarm bells are going to go off when I use this word, the spirit of the church. That's a small s spirit of the church. What does it feel like when you go there? And I'm not talking about the mystical worship feels. I'm talking about, are people loving? Do they welcome you? Do they seem to have joy? Are they people who are excited about the Lord? Those are things that you do indeed want to search, because those things are the fruit of what is going on in the pulpit, in the classrooms, and in the elder meetings. All that to say, you got to judge a church on its own merits, not affiliations. 877-282-2337.
This is from Sharon. Todd, I know I have an unhealthy fear of God. I want to look to God and not fear him to the point that it's paralyzing. Any advice?
Yeah. You got to take a look at your diet. What are you learning about the Lord? What are you studying about King Jesus? Are you perhaps even gleaning or reading over some things that would warm your heart and not remove your fear, but it would redefine your fear? It would move it from being a servile, God's going to get me, God's going to cut me down, God is going to, he's going to whack me for this one, to a reverential fear. So you don't want to lose all fear, but you do want to have a reverential and not a servile fear. And I think the way to get there is to consider your diet. Who are you listening to right now? What are the sermons like coming out of the pulpit? What are you reading? When you study the Bible, what are you looking for? What are the things that really jump out at you? Are you overlooking some things? And I think there might be a group of people that would be profoundly helpful for you if you learn how to consume their teachings rightly. Who are those people? Next on Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you just feel the discipline? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you are so disciplined today. I can't believe that you haven't wanted to jump in on any of the aforementioned, the questions that were asked a few minutes ago.
Well, I did on one, but I...
Which one was it?
The marriage question.
The divorce deal?
Yeah.
Whether she should divorce? Okay, go ahead.
The comment that I was going to make, I wasn't even going to offer anything to the lady that asked the question. I was just going to offer the comment that, because you kind of said it, but there's just so much collateral damage when two people get divorced. It's not just about those two, just the couple. You got kids to think about and other, you know, it doesn't just affect the couple.
Even adult kids. I think we have we're going to wait until the kids are out of the house and then we'll get divorced. They still get hurt. They still get wounded. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You hear about the couple? They were both 94 years old and they'd been married. Get this, 70 years.
Wow.
And they got divorced. When asked, why did you wait so long? They said, we just wanted to wait till all the kids were dead. 2, 3, 4, 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Brandy. Todd, hello. My name is Brandy. I'm 39 years old. Never married. Have no kids. I wanted to ask about online dating. My issue is that I'm tempted all the time to go online, even by people in my church. And although I know it's not a sin, the sinful part on my end would be going against my conscience because I would give up trusting God and taking matters into my own hands. Is my thinking wrong?
Perhaps. It depends on the dating site and it'll depend on your heart. You cannot use a dating site and sin against God by not trusting him. Or you could be on a dating site and not sin because you are trusting him. You're just utilizing the tools. I'm not sure that those of us who are not in Gen Z land or even some of the millennial gang, that we understand how different it is out there when it comes to dating. There are so few people that I talk to that are in their 20s, that are married, that said, oh yeah, we met at church. Yeah, we were at university and we met and we did climb. We went to church together and we got married. Instead, I hear all the time how strange it is, how difficult it is, and how dating apps are the way that people connect. That is just the reality of how things operate these days. So first, suggestion I might make is make sure the dating app that you're using is the best one you can find. I know there's like Bumble, there's Hinge. Make sure you're not on something that is going to expose you to bad stuff. Make sure that you make it really clear that you're a Christian. Make it clear in your description of yourself that you are somebody who is looking for a godly spouse. Having said that, please note, just because somebody of the opposite sex says they are, it doesn't mean that they are. So I guess that would be suggestion number two. Glean carefully. If you are in doubt, swipe them out. If you don't think that they're serious about their relationship with the Lord, then they are done. Then move on to the next one. Suggestion number three then would be to guard your heart. You're going to have to do that no matter what. No matter what you do to expose yourself potentially to finding a spouse, because you can be sinning and not trusting God if all you do is hope that you're going to find somebody at your church. You can still be sinning. So it doesn't, as long as you're using something that is non-sinful, you have liberty to use it. Having said all of that, if your conscience is troubling you, then don't. But I would suggest to you, it doesn't have to. Guard your heart. Make sure that you are satisfied as you are in the state of singleness. Doesn't mean you have to give up hope. It doesn't mean you have to lose your desire to want to be married to somebody, but you do need to work on making sure, Lord, if you don't provide a godly spouse for me, I'm content. I'm not going to carp. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to be sad because I have you. And you are the best thing. Anything else that you give to me, I will receive it joyfully, but it will not make me satisfied in life because you have done that. You've got to be working on that. And might I guess make my last suggestion. Don't lower your standards. Don't lower your standards unless they need to be rethought. Now, is that contradictory suggestioning? No. It's saying that we want to make sure that you don't give in on the essentials, the boxes that need to be checked for marrying somebody. They've got to be a believer. And I would also say they've got to be a believer who really loves the Lord more than they're going to love you. That is so crucial. I know it sounds counterintuitive. It'll change the trajectory of your marriage and your life. Marry somebody who doesn't love you as much as the Lord, and you'll be much happier. So don't change those standards. But if your standard is perfection, you need to alter that. Meaning, you're not going to find somebody who's absolutely perfect. You've got things that you prefer. So let's just say you find somebody godly and they're checking the godly boxes. They love the Lord more. They're earnest about church. They actually belong. They serve. They go to Bibles. All of those things are, and it's like, great. But they don't like taking trips to Europe. And that's important to you. Don't disqualify them. Those are things that you can work through. Don't just swipe somebody out of the realm of possibility because they don't like watching tennis. Just those are not the types of things that are disqualifiers. I would even go further. I've never really articulated a list. But they don't dress the way that you prefer. It's not a disqualifier. Make sure your standards aren't preposterous. Social media has informed you they have got to be perfect in every single regard, or they're simply not qualified. That's just not true. The message of social media is everything needs to be perfect for you. Your first car needs to be amazing. Your first house, perfect. It's got to be perfect. Don't do it if it's not perfect. That's just not the way the world operates. So make sure that your standard is uncompromising when it comes to essential elements of what makes a spouse a qualified spouse versus what the world tells you that spouse has to be. And then send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
This is from Ethan. Todd, so my parents...
You're being so disciplined.
I know.
I know you want to say something.
No. You covered all the bases mm-hmm. there. I had a checklist and I checked them off as you said it. This is from Ethan. He said, so Todd, my parents and older brother have been involved and consumed with the NAR movement for several years. I'm wondering how to bring it up and how dangerous that doctrine is without them shutting down the conversation altogether.
Yeah, that's probably is what's going to happen. And then Thanksgiving is going to be a drag. Now, it might end up being that because the movement that they are in is awful. I would suggest going the positive route rather than pointing out the negative, introduce to them the positive. So you're going to have to do a little sleuthing. Can you find something that you might expose them to that they might actually consume? Is it a book? Is it a sermon? Is it a video? And or you're reading your Bible. Hey, mom and dad, take a look at this and then point out something in the Bible that perhaps is counter to what they're consuming in the NAR movement. And let the word start to wash over them and persuade them and show them, that's something different. Second, make sure that your relationship is stellar. This is true, I think, in every dynamic, but particularly the family dynamic. If you don't have a great relationship with your sibling or your parents or your kids, telling them that the movement that they're in is a dog's breakfast ain't going to go down real well. So if your relationship hasn't been great, I would encourage you, before you would even consider pointing out negative, I think you can start pointing out positive now, good teaching now. Hey, would you listen to this sermon? I found this really affecting. So would you just give it a listen. See what you think about it. Let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Non-confrontational, exposing them to positive. In the meantime, before you get to any negative critiques, please work on your, be a super kid. Be an amazing parent so that you've got a little bit of credit built up and you can have those conversations. And might I finally suggest, don't go after individual teachers. If they love somebody in the NAR, if you go after that person, you know, the Heidi Bakers of the world, and they love Heidi Baker, you're pulling a dog's ear is what you're doing in a fight. You're going to get bit yourself. So don't go after the individual teacher. You can go after bad teaching, but I would suggest only after the relationship has been righted and you have got yourself a little bit of credit. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Planned Parenthood is hemorrhaging facilities faster than they can count. 41 abortion centers have shut down this year alone, and we're just getting started. The Big Beautiful Bill didn't just nick their funding, it severed the nearly $800 million taxpayer artery keeping those death factories operational. Now, here's a story that perfectly captures the cultural moment. Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah, she's in the news again. She jumped on social media to declare that the Minneapolis Catholic school shooter was a white supremacist MAGA Republican. Surprised that she got it completely wrong, but credit where credit is due, she actually apologized. But listen to her gem of logic. She assumed the shooter was an NRA-loving gun person because, quote, most shooters follow a standard MO. That's the left's playbook in action, folks. Shoot first with accusations, maybe apologize later if caught, but at least she admitted she didn't do her due diligence, which is actually surprising that she admitted not waiting at least 5 seconds to see if her narrative matched reality. Corporate America's great awakening does continue, and Cracker Barrel joined the parade back to sanity, quietly scrubbing all DEI and LGBT language from their website, calling it out-of-date content. Out of date. The woke crowd is having conniptions, as you might imagine. Turns out that when your customers are there for the country cooking and the rocking chairs, not your corporate virtue signaling, the bottom line speaks louder than the activist mob. The Trump administration isn't just talking about the housing crisis, they're preparing to declare war on it. The Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, revealed Trump may declare a national housing emergency this fall, which is an all-hands-on-deck approach to tackle skyrocketing costs and vanishing supply. Meanwhile, Trump's trade hardball is paying dividends. India just offered to drop tariffs to zero after feeling the heat from 50% duties on their goods. Two vital stories that reveal the deadly cost of gender ideology and abortion activism. In British Columbia, a man calling himself Veronica just won a woman's golf championship after taking up the sport competitively in February this year. But here's where the ideology turns lethal. A 19-year-old took abortion pills in Ontario. 10 days later, she was dead from sepsis. The media, well, they're blaming system failure. But if we're going to be clear about this, those pills carry a black box warning for sepsis. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app. And I really would appreciate it if you did so, because you can get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Your days of flipping are over, at least for a while. This is Wretched Radio. If you struggle to find stuff to watch on your cable TV, whatever the kind of want to get all technical here, is, but whatever those things are that you, what are those things, like Netflix?
Yeah,
what is that called?
Streaming apps.
Is that what?
I think, yeah, that's what I call
them.
Well,
guess what? We now have a streaming app available on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. Yeah. In other words, all of our content at Fortis Institute, you can now watch it from the comfort of your own couch. And there are, I think it's safe to say, hundreds of hours of free content. So if you've been looking, trying to find something to watch, your days of flipping are over until you exhaust us, of course, because that's what you do, don't you? You go through, you get the app, and then you watch everything that's of interest to you. Now what do? We got to cancel that one because we don't want to keep paying $4.99. Well, you don't have to pay anything for this one. It is absolutely free, courtesy of our gospel partners for whom we are very, very grateful. So if you got yourself Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio, our app is there. So Jimmy, would you tell everybody exactly how they can get the app, the Fortis Institute app, onto all of these streaming platforms?
Yeah, you just go, I just downloaded it myself on my Apple TV. You just go to the app store, just like you do on your cell phone, and how you download apps, just search Fortis Plus, and then log in. Simple.
Nobody's going to believe this, but I'm just telling you, if a feeling has any sort of validity to it, there is a malady for some of us regarding technology. Mm. You just said all you need to do is go to your, what did you say?
The app store, just like you have an app store on your phone, there are app stores on these smart TVs where you download all the apps, like the Netflixes and all. And so it's the same thing. You go to the app store where you download these.
It's like you just finished speaking in tongues and I can't translate.
I'm sorry.
No, I just I hear a buzzing noise in my head.
I think the problem with a lot of these is a lot of the things that we watch come pre-installed, but you can download more.
Great.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but hey, if it's making sense to anybody else,
then
do what he just said, because I'm telling you, when it comes to and it's not like I'm trying to be willfully obstinate. Is there an unwillfully obstinate? At any rate, it's not like I'm trying to be a dodo brain when it comes to technology, but it's just the reality. In-house here, somebody will send me something and I guess it's like all the rage. And that's what it's a Google Doc. The buzzing sound begins in my head. I don't know what to do with it.
Inevitably, a couple of times a month, coming down the hall from Todd's office, I hear, help.
You mean like my printer not printing? And I know somebody, so typically Matt then will hear my summons. Please, somebody, anybody, rescue me. So he'll come walking in from the office next door, typically clicks about one button. And then walks out just muttering under his breath. I've got a malady. I'm telling you, it is real. Please send to idea@wretched.org. That I get. I also get texting. That I get. 1-877-282-BEEP. So on the technology disorder spectrum, I'm up there. I'm not totally inept, but mostly. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, our pastor passed away, and our church has struggled to find a new one. The elders are very secretive about who they've interviewed for the role. Should this be an open process where the congregation knows who the candidates are and what they bring? It feels like we have no say.
Well, it sounds like there's a couple of things going on there. One would be your polity as to how you go about the business of calling. Now, I can share with you what I think about it, but there can be variety that is all in the realm of being orthodox. Nobody's sinning if they do it a different way. But having said that, when you say that it's being done secretively and they don't want you to know anything about it, that could be something. Now, is it, it's time to pack up and leave, kids? No, it doesn't rise to that level, at least certainly not now. Well, talk to them. Hey, guys, we just so want a pastor. and we're also interested and we feel like we're being kept in the dark here. Could you just share with us the process and why you're doing it the way that you're, and just communicate with them? That usually reveals everything, takes care of the issue. They might be going, oh, I didn't know that you thought it was a big deal. I can be that way. I it's like, okay, I got nothing to report, but that doesn't mean that maybe people aren't wondering what's going on with this particular issue. We'd like, as Arch Alpharetta Bible Church, to have our own building. All right, I'm working on that every single week. It's not a daily thing, but it's a thing. Looking for it. And the church is fully aware that we're looking. But my inclination is, well, I don't have anything to share. So what's the point of sharing? That doesn't mean they're not interested. So I have to go, Dodo Bird, the other people, they might be interested in what's going on. And so I have to remind myself of that. That might be the case with your elders. They just didn't know. And your loving, respectful reminder will help them to be better at communicating. Now, having said that, how should you go about the business of calling a pastor? It depends on your church government. If you are elder rule, they're probably going to call the pastor and you're going to have nothing to do with it. That might even be the case if you're elder led, where in your church documents, which should be available to you, if you've never read through your church government policies, you really should. Especially before you join a church, it's just wise to do that and familiarize yourself with it. And the way that it is articulated there should be the way that it gets followed. So elder rule and elder led, they might say the congregation isn't going to be involved. We're going to make this decision. That's a possibility. Now, if you are elder led / congregational, this would almost certainly be one of those times where the elders would say, look, we're going to go do the work on this. We're going to try to find a qualified individual, but there ain't no way that we're calling this guy until the congregation says yes and amen, because it's going to be their shepherd. It's going to be their pastor. It certainly affects them. So elder-led congregational will afford the congregation, I shouldn't say afford, because I just think that that's a part of our responsibility as a congregation. To care about these things, to offer wisdom into these things, not to be territorial and be careful with the preferential decisions. Well, I kind of like that guy. This guy combed his hair that way. He wore better shoes, whatever. You're looking for somebody who loves and smells like the sheep. If you're congregational model, then you'll certainly be involved in that. So go check your church polity documents, and you can have every right then to approach your elders and ask them to either follow it or to simply disclose what they are up to. Jimmy, you got anything else? Because I know you're not saying boo today. Yeah. What's gotten into you or what's gotten out of you?
Nothing. Huh? You're just giving good answers. No. I agree. I agree with what you're saying. I have my beliefs and opinions on it. To this particular question, I do think that there should be more transparency with the congregation in a situation like this. But I'm of the belief, my opinion, like you said, there's different polities, different churches, but I'm of the opinion that elders call elders.
Oh, so you wouldn't involve the congregation?
Not so much. Okay. I think there would be a different level to it. That's just my opinion.
Okay. And now, is your opinion based on what you would call an explicit text or an implicit text or just the general tenor of the New Testament?
Yeah, so to me, what I read from the Bible is, Paul instructed Timothy and Titus to go out and appoint elders in each city. So that's the model that I see is elders appointing elders.
Right.
And so that's just my belief.
Yeah, I can see how you would arrive at that. I would take a look at those verses and say, well, absolutely, elders need to be appointed. The process isn't defined or very clear.
Now, I think the congregation does be involved. So if the elders come to a conclusion of, all right, this guy is who we're leaning toward, then yeah, they preach and the congregation, I think, maybe could give opinions and vote, possibly. After that,
then suddenly you become a bit more of a congregationalist.
Well, I don't know. I just think it's, yeah, maybe a little bit. But I think through the...
We just experienced an on-air conversion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where I stand completely on that. I do think the congregation should be involved at some degree. But I think the appointment should lead with, you know, should lie with the elders.
Well, I think that the elders doing the gleaning and the searching. Now, here's one for you. What about a search committee?
Yeah,
appointing other people, non-elders, to go look for the pastor. That wouldn't be my preference. I would say, Jimmy, I'd lean your way and say, no, I think that's what the elders should be doing. That's their duty. And not assigning others to that task. But when it's an issue, in my opinion, that affects everybody in the congregation, as they are a priesthood of believers, personally, I think they should have a say. Disagree? idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this, it's all free, completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should sheep pick their shepherd? This is Wretched Radio. Just received a question sent to idea@wretched.org, or was that a texter?
That was a text.
877-282-2337. Asking about how their local church, goes about the business of calling a new pastor. Different churches have different takes on this, and it's hardly going to rise to the level of an essential doctrine. Jimmy, you are more of the opinion that the elders should do the calling, the searching and the calling.
Right.
And the sheep shouldn't be picking their shepherd.
That's where I feel like I fall right this moment.
Okay, then let me just offer this as a suggestion. Hmm. Rather than seeing the congregation as merely the lead, that they're actually a part of church leadership. Now, not with the same level of authority as the elders, but they do have responsibilities in the church. If you just want your sheep to do what they're told, then you're going to love elder rule. But if you see that the sheep actually have a responsibility inside of the context of a local church, doctrinal purity, we do get the congregation involved with church discipline, because Jesus said, hey, you're tasked with this to keep the bride pure. And so the congregation is invoked in church discipline. And when you see the sheep as those who are also priests, and when you see the congregation as being a collective pool of wisdom, that they might see something you don't. Now, every dude can relate to this. You meet somebody and you're like, yeah, they're cool. And your wife goes, I noticed this. And sure enough, her spidey sense is spot on. Well, your congregation has a spidey sense. I wish I hadn't really gone down this road, but they do know stuff and they see stuff and they observe stuff. And you might be wowed by them, because if you're the elder board and they come in and they just sing for you, meaning you have conversation and it's like, oh, that was really great. That was really great. That doesn't mean they're necessarily a good shepherd. Doesn't mean that their interpersonal skills in groups are the same level as one-on-one interview with an elder. Having that man brought in to spend some time amongst the sheep who are also priests, I just think is wisdom. Jimmy, yeah. Are you ready to march the aisle and sign the card?
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
But?
No, I know. There's no but. I guess, like I said, I don't know exactly where I fall completely. I just know that I feel that, and maybe it's what you said a minute ago, where there shouldn't be a selection committee, but the elders do that vetting and then they present candidates to the congregation. Maybe that's where I'm at.
Well, I've
just seen so much where it becomes a popularity contest.
It can do that.
Yeah.
Now, that would be an indication that maybe there's other issues in the church that have borne that fruit. Nevertheless, just on a practical level, consider a guy getting called. Now, the congregation, hey, everybody, just want to let you know, next Sunday, your new pastor will be here. The end. No involvement. The guy just comes in. And what if 40% of the congregation is like, what? You called that guy? And all of a sudden, you got yourself a mess. Isn't it better to work through that in the call process rather than post-call? Because if you've got a large chunk of your congregation that doesn't like the dude, then on a practical level, you're just asking for a church split. So why not give him a chance? I'm just talking about the practical level. This is not my exclusive argument. On a practical level, why not let the congregation be exposed to this fellow and his family so that you've got a popular consensus? Because otherwise, it has happened more than any of us can imagine. The guy comes in and he is not the congregational cup of tea. And look out, it is division time. And you just want to avoid that. Please keep praying for Jimmy and send things to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Rick. Todd, what would be the shortest amount of time you could share the complete gospel with a stranger who asks what salvation is or how they can be saved?
Let's find out, shall we? All right, hold on. Oh, let's see. You got the timer thingy right. Let me just, I've got a timer
okay.
here. All right, so I'm going to do the best that I can. So this guy knows nothing about the gospel.
Right.
All right, here we go. Let's see how quickly I can do it. And I won't try to speed speak either. It is obvious that there is a creator because there's a creation. We know that this creator has certain attributes because we see reality revealing those attributes. We know that justice and righteousness are good things. That means the creator affirms righteousness and justice. And that means as I consider my state before that creator, if he's righteous and just, I'm in big trouble because I know I've done bad things, lying, stealing, not loving. Oh, I can have horrible heart attitudes. I've not been as kind as I should be. In other words, I am racking up a debt to this judge who is righteous. That means I'm in big trouble. And that means I think that unless you're exceptional, you're in big trouble too. But here's what I know about the God of the Bible, who is the creator. The foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. We'd expect that. That's the way the Bible describes him. We also know that steadfast love goes before him. That means he's righteous and he'll execute that righteousness via justice. And if we get what we deserve, it's a long sentence, but God is steadfast in his love and faithfulness, and he's rich in mercy. And the Bible says that he sent his son to live a perfect life for us, to never, never, never commit acts of unrighteousness. And then this perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, was brutally murdered. What was happening in that brutal murder? God was pouring out his wrath on his own son. This is what we call penal substitutionary atonement, that Jesus was punished for you and me, the unrighteous lawbreakers. That's good news. And then Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven and he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. And if you're not ready, if you've not received his forgiveness, you got a court date set with the just judge of all the earth, and it won't go well for you. This day, he offers you terms of peace. Take them. Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. 2 minutes and 23 seconds.
2 minutes.
Now, I could cut that down to 15 seconds. God is righteous, just. You're not. He's going to damn you. Jesus died to save you from the wrath that is to come. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. Well, you can, but I assumed I've had some time here before the bus stopped at the next destination. So 2 minutes and 23 seconds. Now, You can figure out your length, but I hope I checked every box, every gospel aspect. I hope I captured in that. And could I get it down to a minute and a half? Sure. If I did some sculpting and crafting of the message, but I wanted to make sure that I had the character and the nature of God in there. I think I did that. I wanted to have our character and nature included. I think I did that. Wanted to make sure that we talked about justice. By the way, the difference between righteousness and justice, do you know what it is? There's two words in Greek. It's tzedek in the Old Testament. And that's what's right. That's what's straight. That's morally upright. And that line is drawn actually in the character of God. He doesn't draw the line. He is the line. New Testament uses two words, dikaios and krinos. Dikaios means righteousness, but the other word for that gets used is krinos, which is more about the application of justice. So the word justice in the New Testament can be dikaios or krinos. I hope I got that right. Meaning righteousness is what is right. Justice is the correct application of what is right. Now, that could be a judgment ruling. It can be making sure that your scales are not imbalanced. It is the correct application of righteousness. So that's really the fine distinction, although sometimes the Bible and the New Testament uses the words interchangeably. They are related, but they are distinct in that righteousness is the standard. Justice is the application. God is both. The foundation of his throne is righteousness. And he's both of those things. And he must execute justice because he is righteous. I want to make sure that I've got that in a gospel presentation. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Why did Jesus die? A penal substitutionary atonement goes flying right out the window if you do not include God's character and nature and our character and nature. And then you can gloriously tell people, guess what? God is so rich in mercy, but he's simultaneously so just. He sent his son to take the punishment for our sins so that if we'll repent and put our trust in him, we will be made the righteousness of God. And therefore, he is just and the justifier of those who put their faith in his son. I hope I had all of those elements in. that gospel presentation, including repentance and faith, the right response. If not, make sure all of the gospel elements are contained in your gospel presentation. And I would be amiss if I didn't ask you right now, have you repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, having just heard the gospel? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.